Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news.
So it's my brother, can you spare a dime? My God shall supply my needs. Don't have to take because I am a thief. Cause every good
Good evening, good evening. It is Friday, May 7th, 2021, and you are listening to When Christians Speak. I want to welcome you all to Friday Night Joy, and I am your host this evening, Reverend Robin. Reverend Ray has another assignment today, so I shall be hosting in his stead. We want to thank you for joining this evening just to acknowledge God and his presence and simply to just rejoice in him in word. So, for our God is an awesome God. He's just beyond words. If we had 10,000 tongues or even more, we would not be able to express just how awesome he is. So we come right now just to spend this hour just talking about God and his goodness and his love and his protection. So because he is a mighty, mighty, mighty God worthy of adoration and praise. So thank God we have made it to another Friday night and we are here celebrating that with Friday Night Joy. But before we go further in this evening and getting started on our topic, which is God's love and his protection, I want to remind you of the various broadcasts that When Christians Speak. We have on the first and third Sundays at 7 p.m., we have Bread of Life with Reverend Ray Rose and friends. On the second Sunday at 7, it's Real Life, Real Men, Real Talk. That's with Brother Ray, Brother Elston, Brother Tyrone, and Brother Cleophas Malone. So that is on the second Sunday of each month. Now, on the fourth Sunday of every month at 7 p.m., there is Marriage Takeover with Pastors Eric and Tamika Thompson. And on Monday, the first Monday of each month at 7 p.m., we have Lifeline with Apostle Shirley Jones. And that's the first Monday of each month. And on the third Monday of each month, there is Adoration with Evangelist Lewis McIlwin on the third Monday at 7 p.m. On Tuesdays at 7, we have His Abounding Grace with Minister Vanessa Williams every Tuesday at 7 p.m. Now, each Wednesday at 1 p.m., we have Midday Glory with Reverend Gwen Dixon. The dial-in number for that is 712-770-5505. The access code is 732-499 and pound. And if you miss it or if you just want to call back and hear that prayer, it is 712-770-5506. The access code is 732-499-POUND. And that's Wednesday, 1 p.m., Midday Glory prayer. And that's every Wednesday at 9 p.m. And every Wednesday at 7 p.m., we have Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Reverend Paul Morgan, 7 p.m. every Wednesday. On Thursdays at 12 p.m., this is midday, 12 p.m., we have Declaring the Finished Work with Pastor Pat Randall. And you are here today, Friday, every Friday, 7 p.m., we have Friday Night Joy with Reverend Ray. And every second Saturday, we have Bold and Beautiful with Reverend Novena Reed, Minister Jordana Cunningham, and Reverend Curtis Alston. And that's every second Saturday, The Bold and the Beautiful. And When Christians Speak has a new broadcast, which is about to air. Its scheduled debut is on Friday, May 21st at 7 p.m., and it's a singles ministry broadcast, and it is entitled Matters of the Heart. It is a time where singles will get together and address issues that are of the heart, and that will be hosted by Reverend Ray and Pastor Maggie Wilson, and that is a new broadcast, and that broadcast will begin on Friday, May 21st. So please plan to join. I think there is a Facebook page for that singles ministry in which you can join. And we look forward to having you participate on When Christians Speak on any of the broadcasts. You can always dial in or go online and just at any time listen to the broadcast and go see previous and listen to previous broadcasts. They're all online. So I just want to thank you once again for joining us for Friday Night Joy. And, you know, whenever I began to think about, you know, this particular broadcast, Friday Night Joy, it's such an awesome name for this broadcast, it always brings to mind the scripture reference, the joy of the Lord is my strength. And it always pops to the forefront, you know. When I talk with Reverend Ray, he may say Friday Night Joy, and I always think, God, the joy of the Lord is my strength. For truly, it is comforting and encouraging to know that we have been chosen and we serve a God who is almighty. You know, he's almighty, meaning he's all-powerful. You know, he's sovereign. He has total authority over all things in heaven and in earth. So when you start thinking about Friday Night Joy, when you think of it, you know, just know, you know, that the joy of the Lord is truly our strength. And when we just begin to think about him and how great he is, how powerful he is, his strength, his omnipotence, you know, his omniscience, all of that is just a joyful thing to think of and to know that he is our God. So before we go further, I'm just going to go ahead and we're going to open up in prayer, and we're going to just enjoy the word of God, because the word of God is just so refreshing, it's so encouraging, and it's just such an uplifter. But let's go ahead with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we come before you this evening, Lord God. We come before you, Lord God, with praises and thanksgiving in our hearts, thanking you, Lord God, that you are our God, that you have chosen us to be your children. And not only us, Lord God, but I know even at this time you are knocking upon the hearts of others, wanting to draw them in unto you, Lord God, to that place of security, that place of comfort, that place of protection. So, Father, we just thank you on this evening that you are a God who cares about his creation and all aspects of it. So, Father, we just come right now. We give this broadcast to you this evening. We come and we say, Holy Spirit, just have your way. I pray that you move me out so that I not alter anything that you wanted to share with all of us, Lord God. So I just relinquish all things over unto you. And I say, Holy Spirit, you just speak to me. Speak to all of us. Speak to our hearts, Lord. Uplift the downcasted, Lord God, of those who are low in spirit, Lord. By your spirit, go in and make a change in hearts this evening, Lord. Gonna lift up the countenance to strengthen, to give hope, to reassure, Lord God. So, Father, we praise you, we honor you, we magnify you, we exalt you, and it's in the precious and mighty name of Jesus that we come this evening. We come with a high expectation, Lord God, just to have left here knowing that we have had an encounter with you, just that as we come, just acknowledging your presence, Lord God, we come, Lord God, just to spend this time in worship with you, Lord God, as we look into your word and just magnify and exalt who you are. So, Father, we just say you are welcome and you're always welcome. So we thank you, we honor you, and we praise you. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that we pray and say amen and amen. Bless the Lord. He is so awesome. He is so awesome and he is so mighty. No matter where we are, no matter how we feel, no matter what we think of ourselves, whenever we spend the time to just acknowledge his presence and just to get before him, all things change. Even if the situations and the circumstances don't change, we change. Our inner being change, you know, our the spirit that is within us just gets overjoyed and it just takes over everything that may happen. So this evening, let's look at the Word of God and embrace the strength of God's protection. And let us receive it and how it is for us. And let the joy just permeate our hearts and minds, knowing truly how blessed we are to be children of the Almighty God. No matter what, no matter the circumstances, the situation of life we may find ourselves in this very day, we are children of the Most High God. And if there's anyone who is listening who may be uncertain of that, all you have to do is invite him into your heart. He is knocking because he says he desires us. I mean, he says he wants none to perish, but all to have everlasting life, and that is in relationship with him. So where we're coming from, the scripture reference that we're coming from this evening, it will be in 2 Samuel 22. And this is such an awesome, awesome chapter. And this is David. And so it begins here. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hand of all his enemies and out of the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, and my deliverer, the God of my rock, in him will I trust. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my high tower and my refuge, my Savior. Thou savest me from violence. I mean, that is so packed with the mighty, powerful strength of God and his protection towards his children. You know, there are just so many things I love about this particular, it's just the first three scriptures, that's all we're getting into at this time. I mean, but a thread that continues, and what makes them so powerful is the intimacy in that David constantly refers to God as mine. You know, my also meaning mine, defined as that which belongs to me. I mean, God wants us to just be that personal with him. Embrace him. Declare that he is yours, my God, my Lord, my Savior, my Deliverer, my Rock, my Refuge. You know, it's so much. And it's that when you have that personal and make it that personal, that's why David can say, in him will I trust, because we are on a personal relationship with us, with each other. I know who God is, and he knows who I am, and we are in a relationship, and I take possession of him by saying mine and mine. You know, God desires that you know, you don't want to be in a relationship with anyone where there is any type of insecurity. You want to be in a relationship and say, yeah, that's mine. You know, oh, I know that's mine. You know, you have to just make it just that personal. And the thread in this chapter here, 2 Samuel 22, is that David is in such an intimate relationship, such an intimate knowing of God and knowing who he is and taking possession of that. I mean, I don't know about you all, and I'm just, you know, revealing myself. I have certain things that that are just simply mine. You know, and I think we all have some things that are just simply ours. That's mine. You can't have that. That's mine. You know, and I think of when I think of this, you know, I'm just going to use something that's basic that we can all probably kind of relate to in some, you know, level or another, is that when I visit, you know, my mother and we have, you know, get-togethers and she cooks different things, and she always makes sure that when her children are coming that she fixed their particular meal or favorite dish. So family would come over and they're like, well, they we know you here, so we want to know where is it and give us some. I'd be like, no, that's mine. You are not getting that. It's mine. That's mine, and you can't have that. It is mine, you know. And it's like, you need to share. No, that is mine. I mean, just to know that it is yours. It's been given to me. It is mine. And all of these things that David shares here, it is what God has given to his children. You know that he is all of these things. And let's take let's look really at all of these powerful adjectives that David uses to describe who God is to him. And we know that God is not a respecter of person, and who God is for David, he is also that for us. And, you know, even the scripture says David was a man after God's very own heart. And if you stop and look at David's life, David wasn't holier than thou. You know, David did some stuff, and a lot of it. David had done so much that even though it was his heart's desire to build God a house, God was like, your hands are really too bloody, David. You know, you got blood all over you. You know, so we know, you know, just in looking at David and looking at his life and look at the things that he did, and, you know, and there's so much of it, we have to be able to get some reassurance of our relationship with God that, no, we don't have to be perfect. We don't have to be holier than thou. You know, and a lot of people, I believe, use that scripture, be holy as I'm holy. Yes, I am holy because he is holy. That's where my holiness comes. It says my righteousness, it says filthy rags. I mean, anything about me is as filthy rags, but I come in because I'm coming in under Jesus. He is my covering, you know, and it's the same thing as that. You cannot make yourself holy. You are holy because he is holy, and he's chosen you into him. So therefore, that is our covering. And we can look at David's life and say, man, David did not have a perfect holy life, but he was a man after God's very own heart. But David loved God. David acknowledged God as he is. He acknowledged the sovereignty. He acknowledged the authority. He acknowledged the power of who God is. I mean, when things came to Saul, he says, no, I'm not going to do anything to Saul because God put him in that position. And until God takes him down, I'm not putting my hand on. So David had an utmost respect for the authority and the sovereignty and the power of God and the majesticness of God. You know, because when he worshiped right on out of his clothes. I mean, so David had that personal, he got just personal in his relationship with God, in knowing who God was and accepting that God was his, you know, and we need to get into that place where we accept it too, not having anything to do with me, but having all to do with God. It has nothing to do with me, but it has all to do with God. It has nothing to do with me, but it has all to do with God. Now, when we look at that first thing that he says is that the Lord is my rock. Then when you think of a rock, you think of something firm, solid, something strong, something dependable, something that can hold weight. You know, and that is also what is said in Luke 6, 47 through 49. It says, whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. And he says, and then he says, I'm going to show you to whom he's like. He said, he is like a man which built an house and dig deep and laid the foundation on a rock, that when the flood arose, when the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of the house was great. So he starts off in this passage, you know, to say that a person who builds a house on that strong foundation of a rock, you know, we build our lives with our foundation being God as our foundation, that is upon which we stand. You know, and there is a song, and I'm sure you all have heard the song, and it has, and it's on Christ, the solid rock I stand. You know, I'm going to read a few of it. It says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. And it says, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. So when David comes in this scripture and says that you are my rock, it means that my entire being rests in you. Everything about me rests and sits upon my foundation of Christ Jesus and my foundation of God, the triune God. So if you say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, whichever you use, you are referring to our God. And that when we have that as our foundation, no matter what comes, that foundation, and if it's a firmly built foundation, you know, when the winds comes, the storm comes, whatever comes to come and try to knock you down, if you're standing on that solid rock, yes, you may come, and I may kind of move sometimes, and with a nice strong force of wind, it catch you, and you may kind of sway, but I am standing firm on who God is. I am standing firm that he is my rock, and that I can place that footing in him, and I can be sure that all shall be well. I don't know how it may turn out, but you are not going to crack my foundation because I am on a solid rock. He says that you are my rock, you know, and that's why, and he says, my rock, you know, that's my rock. I'm standing on this rock. And you ain't going to push me off this rock because, no, this is my rock, and I'm standing on it. You know, and then he says in this scripture, he says, and not only you are my rock, but you are my fortress. You know, that is the second way in which he described who God is to him. He says, you are my fortress, meaning that you are a fortified place. You are a secure place. You are a strong place. You are a castle. You know, a fortress is like a place you reside in for safety from harm or attack by the enemy. It is a place. A fortress is a place that's strongly guarded. I mean, you can go into the middle of that fortress and know that all around you, no matter, you're compassed about with protection. No matter which way you turn, east, west, south, north, you're going to see protection all around you. So when he said, God, you are my fortress, I don't have to do. You are a fortified place. You are my rock. You are my fortress. All I have to do is come into that fortress and know that I am safe. And you just It's just a matter of sometimes you have to renew your mind and revitalize your mind to knowing all of who God is. So when the storms come and the things of life occur, you take yourself, you stand on your rock, and you just transform your mind to the middle of your fortress, and that no matter where you look, you know that you are protected and you're safe. Protected and safe. You know, Psalm 71:3 says, "Be thou my strong habitation, whereunto I may continually resort. Thou hast given commandment to save me, for thou art my rock and fortress." My strong habitation. It says where I can continually resort. You know, and that's something that we all need to continually to strive to get to, that there are going to always be things in this life, in this world. We're in the midst of so much occurring now. But instead of taking my mind and focusing all on the things that are happening which are not good, I'm gonna take myself and resort myself to the middle of my fortress in Christ. You know, that's where I will continually resort to, continually renew my mind in who God is, continually to renew my mind in his promises, continually to renew my mind and have just talk with him and commune to him and avouch him for everything that he has said, just to continually go there. You know, I heard one minister who was speaking, and she, you know, we're talking about meditation. Now, we can either meditate on the things of God, or we can worry about all the things that are going on. And worry is nothing but meditation on all things that are going on. So instead of worrying about most things that you can't change, you might as well take that focus instead of meditating on worrying and meditating on circumstances and situations and things that are occurring. Take your mind and meditate on the Word of God. Meditate on who he is. Meditate on his awesomeness, his sovereignty, his power, his omniscience, his omnipresence. I mean, meditate on his creation alone. I mean, that alone would just take you to a place so far above where you are. You know, and it's just coming to let that be the fortress of your mind, or all of the things that are of God. And that is where that our joy come in, because the joy of the Lord cannot help but kind of bubble up inside of you when we begin to think about how awesome, how great, how magnificent, how majestic, you know, how glorious, how wonderful, how wise and how all-knowing that God is. I mean, when we begin to think about that, everything else pales. When that becomes that fortified place for me, when that becomes that place where I reside, you know, in the things of God, in the thoughts of God, in meditation on his word, in listening to praise or to worship or whatever that can take you into your place of fortress with God. That is the place, you know, where we receive our strength. You know, that is the place where we get our nourishment. That is the place where we are built up and edified, where we can go out and face things, and we can go out and face things, and now they're no longer big, but God is big, and they are small. So we just bless God. There's so much packed into these first three scriptures of 2 Samuel 22. I mean, the second word that David uses to describe God, he says that, you know, the Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. You know, we read these things and we just go over the, you know, kind of go over the words too quickly when we have to stop sometimes and just really meditate sometimes just on the words alone to see that all that God is to us. And when we look at deliverer, we know that Jesus has delivered us. And, you know, and a deliverer is to bring into security and safety, to cause to escape, you know, from threat, danger, harm, or even death. You know, it says that he is my deliverer, and we can trust in God to be our deliverer from situations. You know, and sometimes, you know, I know we all know the song, I can't call off the woman who sings it right now, it's going to come later, but, you know, sometimes it's like, just deliver me from me. You know, not only just outside things, but deliver me from me, that stuff inside. You know, you just can say, God, cleanse and purge me. You know, purge my mind of dead works by the blood of Jesus. You know, try my heart. See if there be any wickedness. See if there be any places, Lord God, you know, wicked way in me, you know, and just lead me to that place of everlasting. Deliver me sometimes just from me, you know, take me into a place of safety, you know, and that's where it still comes to that meditating, where we're meditating on the things of God. We're meditating on those things which produce life, not meditating on all of the bad things, all of the destructive things. And I mean, because I mean, things are just happening. So many things are happening, and I read sometimes, and I was like, wow, what, we are really going down a bad way. But, you know, sometimes I read and I say, but God, I can't focus on that. I have to turn and focus on you, because I know you see all, you know all. I know you have a plan, even though you look around and it's like, what in the world? But I know God, he is a God who has a plan. He is working a plan, and he will fulfill a plan, and he will be our deliverer. You know, these are things that we have to know firsthand, as David knew them firsthand. That's why he could say, my deliverer, my fortress, my rock, because he went through some things, but yet he came through them, and he came through with a worshipful heart. He came through with a grateful heart. He came through acknowledging all of who God is and all of those things in which God has done. You know, and this is another book. I mean, if you want to always see God as these things, it's all in the scriptures. Now, in the Judges 3:9, and it says, and when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord raised up a deliverer. Don't you know that when we cry unto the Lord's going to send an answer. He's going to send help. He's going to respond when his children cry out to him. And in the book of Judges, this was just a common recurrence that God raised up deliverers. I mean, the book of Judges is just such a great example of man's continual fall. I know you've heard, read the scripture of, you know, fall seven times, get up. I mean, when you look through the book of Judges, they fell more than some seven times. But God's love was continual. His deliverance was continual. His redemption was continual. I mean, because the entire theme of the book of Judges, which is, we see it right now playing out before us, even at this time, is that man does what is good in his own mind. He does what is good in his own mind. And that is the same thing that is occurring now. But we as children of God, it can't be what is good in our mind, but it is like, what did God say? What is his word saying? What is his word saying to me? He is the solid rock. He is my foundation upon which I stand. So it's not what is in my mind, but God, what is it that you would have me to do? What is the plan that you have? What path would you have me take? Because I know that whatever path that you have me to take, that is going to be the best path. That is going to be where my foundation can't be moved, because I'm walking with my rock. I'm standing on my rock, you know. That's the scripture, and I don't have the reference before me. It says, well, he will enlarge the steps. He will enlarge the way, you know. So, you know, and we know that we don't want to follow our own way, but we want to follow what our solid rock and our foundation is, because in Proverbs 14:12, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So we don't want to move outside of our fortress. We don't want to move off of that foundation of God that we have, but we want to continue in our way so that we can be sure that we are continually with God in that fortress. And that fortress moves with us. That fortress is wherever we are in our fortress. You know, it doesn't matter. Our fortress is with us all the time. You know, and we have to be continuing with the deliverer. We have it in Exodus. God hears the cries of his people, and he comes to see about them. And this is in Exodus 2, and we know that at this time, the children are in Egypt, you know, and all of the old are dying off, and they don't at this time even know God personally. They're not even at a place. And well, we know David is not there at that time, but where you can say, my God, because they always, at this point in time, before as he was coming to deliver them, it was always the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It wasn't my God, but it was the God of those old people that died, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So it's our tradition, you know. They don't really know him personally. You know, but yet and still, it says in Exodus 2, beginning in 23, and it said, and it came to pass in the process of time that the king of Egypt died, and the children of Israel sighed by reason of the bondage, and they cried, and their cry came up unto God. I mean, at this time, they were simply crying because they were in serious bondage. They were being mistreated. They were being beaten. They were basically slaves until the Egyptians. And it says their cry came up unto God by reason of the bondage. It doesn't say that they were even crying out to God, because at this point, they didn't know him, because all they knew was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It wasn't like as we read in David. David said, mine, you know. But God heard them because he had a covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And that covenant extended to their children. Hallelujah. My covenant with God will and shall extend to my children. And I thank God for that. And it was the same here. He says he heard their cry by reason of bondage. And God heard their groanings. And God remembered his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he looked upon the children of Israel. And God had respect of them. You see, because God came and rescued them, not because they knew who God was, not because they were in a relationship with God, but because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob was in a relationship. And God is a covenant-keeping God. So sometimes that's just this. Don't be weary in your continuing on. Don't be weary in your pressing into God and pressing towards the high mark and the high call in Christ. Don't be weary in that, because your press is going to save your children. Your press is going to be what's going to be covering your future generations to come. because as we go on, we pray for them. I pray for my children. I pray for grandchildren and great-grandchildren that I may never see, but God, cover them. God, keep them. I plead the covering of the blood of Jesus upon them. Keep them safe under your bosom, Lord God. Father, let them open up their hearts and their minds that they will get to know you personally, Lord God. But, Father, keep them covered. You see, so because God is a deliverer and a covenant keeper, and if we cry out to him, you know, I know those of my generations to come, just cry out to him. So he will come upon that cry and begin to bring you into an intimate relationship with him, that you would get to know him. And all that happened is him bringing them out of Exodus, all of the different plagues, all of that was so that these children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob would get to know him as God for themselves. You see, because sometimes we got to go through some things so that we can truly know God for ourselves. You see, because it's not until you go through some things and you cry out to him and he comes in and you acknowledge his presence and you know that there's no one but him that you can go and move and shift to a my God, my deliverer, my rock, my fortress. It's a moving process, you know, to get to that place where it's an intimate relationship, where these adjectives that are used, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer, where they become real to you, and it becomes a my, truly a my. You see, because the children of Israel, they were just crying out. They were in pain. They were in tight situation, you know, and they just wanted somebody to help them. And we've all been there. I don't think that we all just came out the womb saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. It was processed. People prayed for us. And we, in turn, got to stand strong and pray for others. But in 2 Samuel 22, we're back there. It says that I will call on the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. When the waves of death compass me, the floods of ungodly men make me afraid. The sorrows of hell compass me about. The snares of death prevented me. He going through some things right here. Lots of things are happening. It says that in my distress, in that dark place, people coming at me. There are sorrows all around me. In my distress, I called upon the Lord and cried to my God, and he did hear my voice out of his temple. And my cry did enter into his ears. You see, you have to know that when you cry out to God, when we cry out to God, he hears us. He truly hears us. He is not a God who ever slumbers. He never sleeps. He is attentive to the cries of his children. He's attentive to the cries of his people. And it says, you know, in my distress, no matter where you are, in your distress, call upon him. Just call upon him. You can be just like these children in Exodus 2. They didn't know him, but they were in a distress, and they were calling out for help, and there's only one true deliverer, and that's God. And we just cry out to him. And this, the next scriptures are so powerful. And this is what happens when we cry out to God. 2 Samuel 22:8, it says, then the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and a fire out of his mouth, devoured. Coals were kindled by it. He fouled the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his feet. Oh, my goodness. God is coming to deliver, and he is shaking the heavens to come to see why his child, his chosen, is crying out to him. Look out. God is on his way. He is moving. I tell you, this is such an encouraging group of scriptures here. It says the earth shook and trembled. The foundations of heaven moved and shook because he was wroth. There went up a smoke out of his nostrils and fire out of his mouth devoured. Coals were kindled by him. He bowed the heavens also and came down, and darkness was under his foot. I mean, something happens when you cry out to God. Something happens when you cry out to God. It says in verse 11, and he rode upon a cherub and did fly, and he was seen upon the wings of the wind. And he made darkness pavilions round about him, dark waters and thick clouds of the skies. Through the brightness before him were coal fire kindled. The Lord thundered from heaven, and the Most High uttered his voice. And he sent out arrows and scattered them, lightning, and discomfited them. And the channels of the sea appeared. The foundation of the world were discovered and at the rebuking of the Lord, at the blast of the breath of his nostrils. He sent from above, and he took me. He drew me out of many waters. He delivered me from my strong enemy and from them that hated me, for they were too strong for me. They prevented me in the day of my calamity, but the Lord was my stay. He brought me forth also into a large place and delivered me because he delighted in me. I tell you, you ought to get these scriptures and just meditate to know that God moves heaven and earth to send help to us, to come and to help. Because I love it. It says, because he delighted in me. You see, because it started out earlier where David was delighting in God with my Lord, my rock, my fortress, my deliverer. You see, if we delight in God in such a way, he delight in us. I mean, the way this was so descriptive as how David put this out, as how God, he came for me. I mean, he came for me. You know, he delivered me from that strong enemy and from them that hated me. You know, he came for me, shook the heavens, shook the earth to respond to my cry of distress. I tell you, I've been taking those scriptures and I've just been holding on to it and just crying out, because I know he's going to move heaven and earth to come and deliver me, to come and to save and to come and to see why is my daughter crying out? What is going on down there? Let me go and check this out. Let me go and deliver her. Let me go and deliver him. Why are they crying out to me like that? Wait a minute. You know, and it says in verse 20, he brought me forth also into a large place. He delivered me because he delighted in me. I suggest take those scriptures of this song in which David did, because David was in a lot of tight spots. Take the scriptures and just make them personal to you. God is not a respecter of person. The same way in which he came for David, he will come for any of his children. He would come to any who cry out to him. I I mean, just the thunder in the heaven, and you know, and he's uttering, and he's coming, and he's, because he loves us. God truly loves his creation, and there is nothing that he won't do for his creation. And it is just awesome to know that a God that sits so high cares so much about man. You know, the angels even asked him, who is man that thou art so mindful of them? You know, that made Lord and angels, they have no power except the power that God gives us. And the angels are looking like, what? But you know what? Even in that, when they ask it, like, what in the world is going on? These men, why are you so mindful of them? At the same time, there's a scripture, I don't have the reference before me, is that the angels would not even utter anything against man unto God. And that is, I mean, mankind, we always want to talk against one another. I mean, but the angels know exactly who God is and who God has a delight in and who God has chosen, that they won't even bring an utterance against man unto God. They won't go against it. They won't say it. And they see all because they are our minister. They are the ministering angels who are looking out for us. So, and we have an angel assigned unto us. I mean, so they are always there seeing all things and knowing all things. And I'm trying to look for that scripture because I want to give you the scripture. And if I don't have it this evening, I will definitely have it the next time we come together. I say, but they will not. They will not give any, I mean, they will not. It's just so awesome. And just, they know who God is and the character of God, and they won't disrespect it. And that was the same thing with David. David knew that God had given Saul that place of a king. And it's the same type of concept. So he would not harm Saul, because he knew that God had placed him in that position. He knew that it was only God who could. He wasn't going to kill Saul, because that was a place that God had placed him. And there was a place that only God can remove him. And it's the same concept with the angels, where it says that they won't say anything against man, because they know that that is something that God has chosen. That is something that God has done. You know, and even when Saul died, and it was the one who came to give the notice to David that Saul had died, not only that Saul had died, but he came upon Saul, and Saul was really injured. He would have died. But he actually did the final piercing of Saul, that he died immediately and wouldn't be taken captive. But even then, David says, you think it's okay to have done that? And actually, David killed him. You see, because David had a respect that wasn't a man for you to take his life. That was for God to handle that situation. And it's just so that awesome is what I'm wanting to say, is that David had a respect of that thing that God had a respect for. You know, he had a respect for God's dominion and God's power and God's authority and God's sovereignty. And I think it is those things that made David a man after God's very own heart, because he respected those things that were in God's control and was under God's guardianship and authority. He respected who God is. And that reverence that he had for God, that is the same reverence that we need to have for God, that we can stand on that solid foundation and not think of ourselves as God, which is something that we got from the fall to think, because that was what we did get. You know, the serpent said that you will be as God. But see, that's all. We got to take that as God hat off and say, I don't even want any parts of that as God. God, what is it that you want? Not anything I want. Because it says that he says that he has a plan for our lives. So who am I when God says he has a plan to come in and usurp his plan with what I think my plan should be? You see, God had a plan that David was going to be king, but it wasn't up to David to decide when that was going to happen. And David respected that and waited until he was elevated, until that plan materialized for him to be king. And so it is, the whole thing is David was at that point where he can say mine. You see, because he had that relationship, and he almost as he was a God, a man after God's own heart, he also was in tune to what God's heart is. And I just, that is my prayer, God. I desire to be in tune with your heart and with joy, to just be able to walk in the heart of God. Amen. So that's as far as we can get tonight. We're about out of time. And perhaps on another Friday night, joy, we can pick up again. But I do pray that something that we've said tonight, something that's been shared tonight, has been an encouragement to you. I do really encourage that you go and read that Second Samuel. It's such a powerful scripture of God's love. And if you're chosen of God, you know we have so many things to our protection and so many things that covers us just being his children. And I just pray that we can all just fall deeply in love with God so that we can want that intimacy with him and to have his heart and just to know his heart, because truly his heart is for his children. He loves his creation. So I do thank you all for coming on and being a part of Friday Night Joy, and we're gonna end in prayer right now. And I pray that you all remain well, and I pray that you take the time to set yourself right in the middle of your fortress, and set your mind and meditate on the things of God, and that he will continue to increase your area of being fortified in him, that you can stand on that solid rock of Christ Jesus and know that nothing will come and move you off of it. Amen. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now. We thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to have come and just to partake of your word and just to go over and just break down the word so that we can know exactly what those words, how powerful those words are, that you are our rock, that you are our fortress, that you are our deliverer. Father, we thank you, Lord God, that we have such a place that we can stand on and be assured that we are safe. So, Father, we thank you for having chosen us to be your children, Lord God. Father, I pray right now for all of those who may be suffering from an illness or suffering from COVID. Father, we know that you are a healer. So, Father, pray that you would just touch, Lord God. Go and touch. Go to the hospitals, Lord. Those in India, Lord God. Those who are just suffering, Lord God. I pray, Father, send your healing balm, Lord God, to touch. And those who are dealing with grief, Lord God, from loss and just sudden loss, Father, I pray that you would be their comforter and their peace on this night. So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord God. Trust in you in all things, Lord God, that, Father, that you, Lord God, truly are our rock and our fortress and our deliverer. So, Father, touch those who are listening, Lord God. You know their circumstances and what they need. So I just lift them up unto you, knowing, Lord God, that you are a God who hear our cries, and on the wings of our cries, that you do come out and you do see about us. So, Father, wherever the need is, Lord God, whatever is in physical, you'll need financial, Lord God, healing, Lord God, you know, battling and dealing with the depression and things of the mind, Father, I pray that you, in the name of Christ Jesus, would just go and see about your children. And we trust, God. It is in you we trust. And it's in Christ Jesus' name that I do pray and say amen and amen. Be blessed, everyone, and build your fortress right in the center of God. Amen and good night.